Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here now with the Midday Interview. I'm delighted to have as my guest today John Jeremiah Sullivan. He will be our guest on Monday evening at 7 o'clock, and Ben Seelman from the Star News will join us to moderate. He'll be talking with John Jeremiah Sullivan about a book of essays called Pulphead. So first of all, John, thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to the prologue thing on Monday night.
Yeah, we get an interesting group of people that come. And if you have never come to prologue before, let me tell you, you don't have to have read the book to come and enjoy it anyway. Now, let's talk about Pulphead. First of all, describe what the title is all about.
Pulphead is it's an old slang term, early 20th century American slang term for a person who's unwholesomely obsessed with magazines and newspapers, and as a result has a kind of shallow understanding of many things. And, you know, most of the pieces were written during years when I was working for men's magazines, glossy magazines, and so I was trying to play around with the idea of that a little bit. And also the tone of that kind of writing is something that a constraint that I was working inside. I also like the fact that people ask what it means. It's a strange word that people haven't. It's vaguely familiar, but at the same time not. And so that's useful in a way. I think it kind of brings people forward a little bit.
All right. And does the book, do all the essays deal with pop culture, would you say? Is that a fair assessment?
About half of them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are two or three main themes moving through the book, one of which is pop culture, often obscure American pop culture and pop music. There are also several pieces that have to do with Southern history and natural history, archaeology, things like that. So it's quite varied, mm-hmm. subject-wise.
I've only had a chance to read three of the essays, and those three are so different from each other. I particularly was moved by the one called At a Shelter After Katrina, and just the voices of the people that were there and the things that they had experienced that brought them there was very moving. Because, you know, you can look at an event like Hurricane Katrina and it's so overwhelming, but if you can tune in to one or two people and hear what they say, then you get a better sense of what they experienced.
Yeah, I remember going down there a few days after the storm and was staying in a shelter on the Mississippi Gulf Coast, and it was intimidating to me as a writer because you're aware of your own inability to make a kind of larger sense out of what's happening. At the same time, you feel like that's maybe what you're called on to deliver. So I just tried to open the lens and observe the human suffering that was going on there as closely as possible and in as detailed a way as possible. I feel like, okay, that's the one thing you can do if they just kind of parachute you down into the middle of something like this. You can just try to see it as clearly as possible.
Exactly. And I read another essay, one of the earliest ones in the book, about driving a 29-foot RV to a Christian concert, a gathering, and that I didn't finish that when I was working on that this morning, and it was amazing.
Not just a concert, but a week-long festival of Christian rock bands. Yeah, that was one of my most harrowing assignments. This RV that I ended up having to drive in. You know, they expected that I would get a rental car, but there were 100,000 people at this festival. So, of course, all the rental cars within miles had been taken for weeks and months. So I ended up driving this gigantic RV.
Right.
And it's amazing that no one was harmed.
I don't know how people drive those. I know some of them are so huge that they have a closed-circuit television monitor so you can see what's happening behind you, because rear-view mirrors just don't cut it.
Yeah, you have to really trust mirrors in a way that doesn't come naturally to me. I always assume that a mirror is, you know, is not telling me the full story.
I also want to talk about the essay I just finished reading called Michael, about Michael Jackson. I think it would be very hard to get a sense of what he was really like. But this essay has a number of very beautiful moments in it where you talk about other interviews that he gave and things that he said, but just to get a sense of who he was. And the description of the some of the recording sessions, talk a little bit about his engineer that he had for some of those recording sessions, if you would.
For many of his most famous songs, he worked with a man named Bruce Swedien, as well as Quincy Jones, of course. And they had a very special relationship in the studio. Swedien has a golden set of ears, and he just really knew how to get the best out of Michael and how to train microphones on his voice. And there are some beautiful descriptions and in interviews with him of you know, he's on this side of the glass watching Michael perform on the other side and fluttering in and out of a spotlight in an almost moth-like way. Mm. Really, really interesting. Yeah, that piece was I can't claim that I got closer to knowing Michael, but I wanted at least to kind of reestablish his unknowability, because that was the thing that drove me nuts about the media tornado after his death, that he was dismissed in a way. Mm. This world historical artist, you know, this person who had impacted the culture so deeply. I couldn't believe that tone of dismissal. So I wanted to make him strange again, mm-hmm. as an artist, as a creative person, and someone whose tortured behavior that got him judged in life did come out of some depths. You know?
Yes, and that really comes across in the essay, the depth of his suffering to some extent, but the depth of his artistry is right there on the page in a way that made me appreciate him in a way that I hadn't before. Particularly the descriptions of the recording sessions were fascinating to me. And also some of the interviews that he gave to magazines like Ebony when he was with a trusted journalist. Those were interesting because I had never read those before. So thank you for that.
That was a real revelation to me too, realizing that during the same years in which he'd been made fun of by the mainstream media, not that he was beyond making fun of, I don't mean to sound self-righteous about it, he was mm-hmm. often very ridiculous, but during those same years, African-American publications had been doing a totally different kind of interview with him, and not just one or two, but a dozen or so. Much more revealing interviews that gave you a greater sense of him as a complete person, as a coherent person, not just as a freak.
Right, exactly. If you're just joining us, I'm talking with John Jeremiah Sullivan about his book called Pulphead, a series of essays. John will be our guest on Monday evening at 7 o'clock here at WHQR at 254 North Front Street. That's for our series called Prologue. You don't have to have read the book to come and enjoy it. Ben Steelman will be there interviewing John and encouraging him to talk about the book and his other writings. John, as we move along now, let's talk a little bit about perhaps a favorite essay for you, or one that, let's say, practically wrote itself, one of the ones from the book.
The one that came closest to writing itself was probably the last piece, which is about our experience of having our house be a set on One Tree Hill. It's the only Wilmington piece I've ever written. And I don't know why it happened that way. I was actually behind deadline for another piece and shouldn't have been working on anything else. But about 11:30 one night, I started writing it, and 48 hours later, it was finished, and I really haven't tinkered with it much since. So there are stories that they just seem to want out so badly that they don't care what you're doing or what you're in the middle of.
And I've heard that before from other authors. And you just wrote down what happened, and boom, there it was.
That's what it felt
just
like.
Just about.
Yeah. Then you look back, of course, and see that you were doing a lot of selecting of details, and maybe that stuff is happening unconsciously all the time, and then a piece just coalesces, you know.
Was there one that you struggled to write, one that you just seemed to have difficulty getting the feelings onto the page?
The piece about Andrew Lytle, the Southern writer, and the year that I spent helping to take care of him and being a sort of apprentice to him when I was a college student, was the hardest to write because I felt like the burden to say what I meant was greatest, and I worked on it for 4 or 5 years before I let anybody see it.
My goodness.
And so, you know, the reception of that piece, the fact that that it has been sympathetic for the most part, has meant the most to me, I guess.
Wonderful. Now, when you write, John, do you always write essays, or have you written other works as well?
I've written other stuff and in other modes, but not successfully. Not in my view, and not in the sense of having gotten them published. Essays seem to be, that seems to be my thing. It's what I go to if I'm not paying attention, the way I hear my own writing voice.
And if you're listening right now and you think essays, that doesn't sound very interesting, really each one is like a short story jewel that when you read it, it'll really stay with you. The images are very powerful. So you've gotten some awards for this particular one, haven't you? Been on some best of lists?
It was on some best of lists. That was really nice, especially right before Christmas. To have a little too early to know if it'll win any awards or anything like that. The piece that we mentioned, the piece about Andrew Lytle did win a Pushcart Prize and a National Magazine Award. That was that meant a lot. That was a piece that I had agonized over somewhat. So
we just have about a minute left, and I want you to tell us a little bit. You've taught at UNCW, and your wife currently teaches there.
She does. My wife Mariana teaches in the film department there, and I teach every chance I get. Whenever they need someone, they'll let me come in and do a nonfiction workshop, which is really fun.
We have a number of graduate students from the creative writing department that are here on staff at WHQR as interns. And so that is an incredible department. And I'm sure they're glad to have your help from time to time.
It's an amazing group. And, it keeps me inspired. It keeps me energized as a writer to get to interact with it now and then.
Wonderful. Our guest on Monday night for Prologue is John Jeremiah Sullivan. You've just heard him here on the Midday Interview. Pulpit is a series of beautifully written essays. Prologue is Monday at 7 here at 254 North Front Street. Ben Steelman from the Star News will be here to guide you and John through exploring these essays. If you'd like more information about this, just go to our website, whqr.org. John, thank you for coming in today and sharing with us.
Thanks for having me.
All right. This is 91.3 WHQR.